This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
The benefits of including salary information in job postings. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer, in for David Brancaccio. First, later today, a bankruptcy court in New Jersey will hold the first hearing on the restructuring of pharmacy chain Rite Aid. The company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It expects to close some of its stores in an effort to reduce its heavy debt burden. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Rite Aid says it has some $8.5 billion in debt and $7.5 billion in assets. It's also facing lawsuits tied to the opioid addiction epidemic, including one filed by the Justice Department, which accuses the company of knowingly filling hundreds of thousands of illegal prescriptions for addictive painkillers. Such lawsuits are put on hold during the bankruptcy process, and companies such as drug makers Purdue, Mallinckrodt, and Endo have used the tactic to deal with opioid-related claims. Rite Aid has been limping along for years, a smaller rival of CVS and Walgreens. In its latest quarter, it reported shrinking sales and a net loss of $300 million. The company's restructuring plan includes closing some of its retail locations to save on rent. Rite Aid did not specify how many stores would be affected. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
More than 80% of hiring managers across the country say they now include salary information in job listings. That's according to new research from the employment firm Robert Half. But data from ZipRecruiter suggests the number that actually do this is lower, closer to 40%, at least for jobs posted on that particular site. But whatever the number, companies that do list salaries say they notice benefits. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
A growing number of states are requiring companies to include a salary range in job listings. Julia Pollack at ZipRecruiter says those laws make a difference.
The share of job postings with pay posted rises after a law, a pay transparency law, is introduced. It goes from around 20 to 30% before the law to about 50 to 60% after the law.
Sometimes the salary ranges are huge and don't actually tell applicants all that much. But Pollack says that's not typical. And big range or small?
Job postings that include salary data receive about 50% more applications on average, and they're actually three times more likely to deliver quality candidates.
Companies are starting to recognize this, even in states that don't require it, says Brandy Britton at Robert Half.
About 6 in 10 hiring managers found that including the salary information does help them attract more qualified candidates.
Still, some industries are more transparent than others. More than half of healthcare jobs on ZipRecruiter include a salary range. In tech, it's only around 20%. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
We've been covering the ways in which investment in the arts can pay dividends for towns and cities. Today, we're zooming out with a national snapshot. It's a fresh report from the advocacy group Americans for the Arts. Randy Cohen is vice president of research there, and he spoke with my colleague David Brancaccio.
All right, so you do this every once in a while, this big report. What do you see in this one?
Well, Arts and Economic Prosperity, it's an economic and social impact study. And what we see is arts are an industry. They're a $151.7 billion industry in the U.S., and that has incredible economic benefits. For one, it supports 2.6 million jobs across the country. But unlike most industries, they've got a huge value add that they bring to their communities, and that's that event-related spending that we capture. So, you know, think of the last time you went to an arts event. You may have went downtown, paid for parking, and had dinner, and saw the show, or went to the exhibit, and maybe had dessert afterward. What we found is the typical attendee spends $38.46 per person, per event, not including the cost of admission. So, you know, the arts are creating commerce for local merchants.
And what do you want people who are engaged with community affairs, elected officials, and others to draw from numbers like this?
What this economic impact study does, it helps government and community leaders understand that when they're investing in the arts, that they're getting more than cultural and quality of life benefits, which are vital and central to livable communities. They're also getting economic benefits. They're driving commerce to local businesses. They're supporting jobs. Nationally, they're generating $29.1 billion in government revenue, and they're strengthening tourism.
And we're still going out to stuff as we come out of COVID. On Broadway, theaters have run into some trouble filling seats, but nationally, do you see a downturn?
Well, it's less of a downturn, I think, than a slower response than expected post-pandemic. And you know, what we hear, and I think the data is still coming in, is that audiences are about two-thirds to three-quarters back. And so that's a real challenge for arts and culture organizations out there.
And as for definitions, arts and culture, it was a pretty big tent, the definition you would have used?
Yes, we do. And we focus on nonprofit arts and culture. And so those are going to be your theaters, your museums. Folks sometimes ask, well, why focus just on, you know, that nonprofit sector? And that's because when government funds the arts, it's typically to the nonprofit arts and culture organizations. And it's an appropriate question to ask, you know, what's the return on investment for the public?
Randy Cohen from Americans for the Arts with the latest Arts and Economic Prosperity report they do about every 5 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
That was my Marketplace colleague, David Brancaccio. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.